by the Hawks of Essendon in Tasmania. Tasmania became Navy Rights sponsor of the Hawthorn Football Club in 2006. Since then, Tasmania and Hawthorn have formed a strong and successful partnership, which has seen Hawks players visiting communities across the state, contributing to the efforts of local charities, community groups and sporting clubs.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Swans Big Footy Podcast. My name is Bonds and joining me today is Punts.
How are you guys?
Vaughn.
Good to be back.
And Swans Rule 100.
Hello everyone.
Now we're coming off a rather satisfying 79-point win over the weekend with three goals to our dual Brownlow medalist, Adam Goods. Swans Rule, do you want to take us away?
Yeah, pretty uninspiring game. First quarter was very dour and frustrating as a fan because I thought we should have really got a lot more reward for effort. But, you know, 79-point win, which some smart-ass predicted on the board. I was very happy with that in the end, and there was plenty of positives to take away, including the forward structure with the mix of talls and smalls. I thought was quite good. Good started well early. Lloyd, the chance for the rising star, that was impressive. And I have to give a little shout-out, I guess, to Derek's in the second half because I was bagging him non-stop the first half, and he did turn it around in Pike's absence, so that was pleasing. But it's hard to gauge that game. I think we'll see more about the Swans next week, really.
Okay, Vaughn, what are your views on the match?
Nothing too much more to add. Clearances, inside 50s, contested possessions, you know, all the key stats. We won pretty well, but, you know, it's really hard to compare yourself when you're literally playing against witches' hats. So pretty hard to, I guess, see where we're at. I was really disappointed because in the first quarter, there was absolutely no pressure, no physical pressure by the Lions. And the only pressure we had was, I guess, mental pressure to convert. And we didn't really hit targets. Our entry into 50 was appalling, as it has been for the majority of the year. Our ball use around the ground was shocking. And I'm pretty gutted about Pike as well, because it'll really test us.
Okay, and Punts, what are your views on the match?
Yeah, I have to agree with the other guys. I thought it was a bit of a downer. Down a game. I thought our ball use in the first half was pretty shocking. A couple of times coming out of defence, I know we saw Rampy going to McVeigh across goals, turned it over, which caused them to have a shot on goal. And as the other guy said, it was just I don't know what to take out of that game. I think obviously we're going to get the real test this week, but it was pretty much witch's hats. It was just a dour game. I thought Luke Parker is probably the most courageous player on the team. He just goes back with the flight, smothers. He's really taken the step up this year. Also, besides that kick across goal, Rampy hit a few targets. He used the ball pretty well, actually, considering he's normally the whipping boy. Other than that, I think Pike's injury is going to be a little bit of concern who comes in this week. Thought Derek's played well in the second half, but his first half was, as you know, that's about it out of that game. Yeah.
I don't think it's all doom and gloom coming out of the match, just to take a bit of a different tone to everybody. We didn't play anywhere near our best football, and we have played better over the course of this year, which is pretty surprising because it's been a pretty disappointing year so far. But a real positive light for me out from the weekend was Jake Lloyd's performance. 29 disposals, 83% efficiency, made a couple of tackles, kicked a goal. I was really surprised because even him coming through under 18s, he was a bit of a ball magnet, yes, but I never knew he was so polished.
But how good is it to see young guys come in, even bigs last year, come in and actually hit targets, you know, and have composure? I don't understand how some of the older players can't do that. They butcher it, and you got the young kids coming in, like Lloyd and Biggs last year, and they actually use the ball very well, which is surprising, considering, you know, Bird's been there for however many years now, and he still butchers the ball on a too regularly, I think.
I'd have to agree with that. A lot of our older players don't seem to really be lowering their eyes when they're aiming for a target at the moment. It's a bit interesting. I think one of the worst cases on the weekend, and he's not exactly one of our older players, but he's one of our more experienced players right now. It's Hanabry. Yeah, 31 possessions at only 55% disposal efficiency. He had a couple of real clangers.
The only thing is, Hanabry, his ball kicking, his efficiency has always been so appalling. Like, he might have a really nice gem every now and then, and it'll, like, cover up the fact that he's actually a really shocking kick. Not to mention, I think those numbers are a bit skewed because Hanabry plays in the midfield, so many of his kicks would be little quick ones. So, you know, obviously it wouldn't register as efficient, whereas someone like Lloyd, he'd get a lot of cheapies in the back line. So, yeah, it's careful not to read too much into that. But Lloyd was really impressive. His kicking was good. I thought his willingness to... I know this sounds silly, but his willingness to actually play the game, like instead of just keeping safe and taking the safe options, he actually had a little bit of flair with his movements and a willingness to try new things. And I think that's a really good asset coming off halfback.
One thing I did notice with Lloyd is he ran both ways hard. There was a couple of times he actually got it in the back half and they... You know, and he ran real hard forward, and there was a couple of times he did that. So I guess the rumours going around that to get a game in the Sydney midfield, you have to be able to run two ways, which is which was pleasing. Also,
yeah, it seems like in the last, well, this week in particular, we seem to have. It might be because we're missing both Tippett and Franklin, but the two-way running seemed to be back.
Yeah, it only ever happens when we've got no focal point up forward, which is. Funny, it's just like the Carlton final last year. Like we went into that game, you know, with our Tippett after the first quarter, and it was one of our better games for the year. You know, obviously it was only Carlton, but still, it's a funny game sometimes.
It is a rather interesting game. How do we think we're actually going to cover for the absence of Pike this week? He'll probably miss one or two. I don't think it's a severe hamstring tear, but. We don't really know until the scans come back tomorrow or next day. But do we actually think that Derek's can perform the number one ruck role by himself next week?
Well, he did in the second half, I guess, so he deserves a crack at it. But you can't really expect anyone to ruck 100% game time, so he needs some sort of chop out. You have to have at least a second viable ruck option going forward. And as long as it's not LRT or some... Hackett really probably has to be a Nankervis or someone young come in and make a debut. And given what we've just said about Lloyd, why wouldn't you try someone young if they're fit and ready to go?
Do you guys think that Tippett might come back in and we'd throw him straight into the ruck with a rib injury?
Surely not.
I hope not. But they'll probably do it because we don't think they should, so they'll do it. I don't think he trained last week. Not fully, at least. So I don't know why we'd... risk someone like Tippett. It just seems like
he had a full training session on Saturday. He had a full training session on Saturday. Oh, it was Friday, I think it was, with the reserves.
Yeah, he trained yesterday, didn't he?
Yesterday. We didn't get through training on Thursday because he couldn't do the contested work. So, but apparently he got through yesterday, which is what, 24 hours later or 48 hours later.
Not really sure. I'd rather us throw Tippett to the Wolves this week and actually use him in the ruck rather than us throw LRT back inside.
If they're the two options, then yeah, probably. But I'd rather try it with a young ruckman.
I'd agree. Preference would be for us to try Nankervis, bring in Franklin and give Tippett the next week's rest and then maybe bring him back just before the bye. But
it's down to really... Franklin, isn't it? Because if Franklin and Tippett come in, you're bringing two talls in. You can't bring in Nankervis as well. You're far too tall with Goods and Reed and that up there. I just think that Gibson and that would just, if they can get it to ground, which Gibson's the best in the league at doing, they're just going to run it out of there with ease. Too far to Hodge and all that. So you can't play Reed, Goods, Tippett, Nankervis. All up in the forward line at once, it'll be far too top heavy. So,
especially when every player you listed, apart from Nankervis, is under some sort of fitness cloud to some degree.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably in a minority here. I know that it's the whole get your strongest team on paper. So if Tippett and Franklin are fit, put them in. But I just don't really want to bring in two underdone players. I just I don't think it'll really work for us. We can't manage their time at all. And I think we kind of saw it with Goods. Like, I mean, yes, Goods had a really great game, and he's missed so much game time, more than Tippett, but, you know, still Tippett's missed a lot. But he played a really good in periods. And then because I think we were planning to sub him out because of that Pike injury, he had no influence. And if we were playing a team like Hawthorn, I don't know, if you have one underdone player, you might be able to get away with it. If you have two or three, I just think it's too many. And I'd like to bring in Nankervis.
Yeah, the thing is, it's the whole forward line. Like, they haven't even played a game together yet. They probably haven't even done a training session all together yet because either one of them's been injured at the time. So you pretty much, your whole forward line is either underdone or slightly injured. It's just, you know, what you expect, to just to roll out and beat the best team in the league. Nah, I can't see it happening. And if Franklin can't get through training on Thursday, just gone, I wouldn't be playing him. I just reckon it spells disaster. If he runs out injured against Hawthorn because he just wants to play against his old club and has a shocker like Daisy Thomas do, it's not going to be good for anyone.
No. It's going to be interesting on the weekend. Like, even if we do line up with a tall forward line, yes, Hawthorn have lost Lake, but they've still got some pretty decent tall defenders, and Schoenmakers was pretty good in defence in the second half.
Well, I decided to pop over to the Hawthorn board today because I have a death wish. And I actually asked the question how they think, you know, how big a loss is Lake. And the responses I got, shifting aside the insults, was pretty much that they've had so much experience shifting around their back line. They've only had Lake for a year. So it's not as though they don't know how to play without him there. So it's not that big a loss. And I think one of them mentioned the point as well, you don't need someone big and hulky like Lake to take on Buddy. So, and we don't really have any of those forwards that are like Travis Cloak that are so strong one-on-one. I feel our forwards are such leading forwards that it's not that big a loss that they've lost Lake.
I think we're getting too caught up in the forward structure, personally, because this game will be won in the midfield if we are to win it, because you can put whoever you want in our forward line, but the majority of games this year, our delivery has been terrible. And if we do that against Hawthorn, they'll just run it out, I think, as Punt said, and it won't matter. We need to stop them from having a loose player in defence for a start, and we need to get the midfield to get first touch on the ball and keep their eyes low and get the forward delivery right. You can pick who you want forward, but, I mean, it'd be nice to have fit, firing Tippett Franklin there, but it won't make any difference if our midfielders bomb the crap out of the ball and don't use it correctly.
I'm backing our midfield. I think Hawthorn are so strong. Their midfield is really strong, and God, their skills, their work rate, it is just top notch. They're scary to watch, but maybe I'm naive. I still think that if we lower our eyes, if we have a structure to kick to, someone like something we've trained with, something we have experience with, that we can actually do a lot better. So that's why I actually want to go in unchanged, barring the injury, which is a bit surprising to everyone. I guess if Tippett and Franklin aren't in the side, well, then our midfielders will just kick goals, and that's more worrying for Hawthorn than, you know, isolating Tippett.
I'd almost have to agree with that. Part of me really wants Tippett to play this week for no other reason rather than, without Lake in their defence, they don't have an obvious matchup for him except Schoenmakers, which will force our defence to be slightly less stressed. And if he's fit, and that's a pretty damn big if, it's going to be a massive chop out in the ruck. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen, so I think the only in and out this week should be Pike out and Nankervis in.
Yep. Now, unless they can train properly or something, then no point risking them at all. And a Tippett, Franklin isn't as frustrated, but it's frustrating that we've paid Tippett the big bucks and he only had him half a year last year, and now it's what, round 7 we're going into, and he's potentially not playing till after the bye, if we're honest. And that's why it's tempting as fans to call for him to come in, but there's no point risking him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I'm worried about this match, but on the bright side, they don't have Sam Mitchell this weekend or Lake, so that should at least help out our defence.
Yeah, then on the flip side, we don't have Pike, our only genuine Hopman. So
to be honest, I think Pike's been struggling with the number one. I reckon he struggled at the start of the year with the number one ruck role. I'm still unconvinced that he actually can play that number one ruck role. It just seems a bit slow getting around the ground for some reason. You know, I think Mumford was obviously bigger than we thought, but I just think that he still hasn't, you know, I mean, the first couple of games they tried doing it, he hasn't really taken that role up. You know, I actually think, as hard as it is to say, that Derek's is almost more capable of playing the number one ruck role than Pike is at the moment for some funny reason.
I'm not too concerned about losing the hitouts actually going on from what Punt said. I mean, when we played Fremantle, which was probably our best performance for the entire year, we were thoroughly outperformed in the ruck. When, I'm not going to lie, we were destroyed in the ruck.
We also lost hitouts last week. Oh, this week, I don't know, whatever. Against Brisbane, we lost hitouts as well.
It wouldn't have been by a large margin, actually. It would have only been 2 or 3 difference in the hitouts. Sorry, I'm just counting those now. Swansrell, do you have any real opinions for the Hawthorn game this week? Like, who do you believe is the main matchup we should be looking at? Main player to stop?
Well, I guess we need to win the midfield battle, and Mitchell out helps. I guess there's Rioli, Hodge, those sort of obvious players. Birchall, Burgoyne, Suckling, I always sort of think of when I picture Hawthorn, because to me especially, Burgoyne is an elite ball user. And we want to keep the ball out of the hands of those silky left footers that they have. I see Hawthorn as a side that plays a lot of uncontested football because they hit targets better than anyone. So the two-way running is going to be more important than ever to shut that down and, you know, keep the tackling pressure up. We need to hit targets ourselves. I don't know. There's no one in particular that even stands out at Hawthorn. I wouldn't rate any of their players in the top 10 in the league, even though they probably are the best side because they're such an even team. So it'll just take a good team effort from our midfield to win this game and keep the pressure off our defence.
It's interesting. I think the most important for us this week will probably have to be our defensive pressure. I mean, on the weekend, we only laid 59 tackles. That's not great. And our defensive pressure against Melbourne wasn't brilliant either. But against Fremantle, we laid over 100 tackles, which is kind of scary. And if we can do that again this week, I'd give us every chance of beating Hawthorn. Unfortunately, it's really reliant on how good our pressure is on the day.
I don't think Hawthorn are as unbeatable as people think. I'm pretty confident we can win the game, as silly as some people will say that is. But if we play at our best at home, I think...
I totally agree with you. For some reason, I'm really confident going into this game. Like, if we go in unchanged and don't make any silly... risky moves like tip it in, Franklin in, then like Goods out or something crazy like that. I actually give us a chance. I just think Hawthorn are a bit overdue. I know that's not logical, but...
No, well, we've been critical of the team's ball use and everything, but the effort is increased week by week, and it's finally time to see where the team's at. We can't really read anything into the last few wins because of who we played, but the side did what it had to do. So let's see where we're at against a couple of good sides in the next few weeks and find out where this season's going. If we get smashed in both, then maybe it's time to develop for next year. But it's an opportunity. It's nothing to fear. And I think we have the side that mentally can do it if they're switched on. It's a big if, but I'll probably tip us at this stage as a fan.
Let's not forget, though, we won a grand final against them with the personnel that we played last week. So I have no doubts that the players have the talent and the skill to do it. It's not as though we're lacking... you know, things that we can't achieve back in 1 week. All it'll come down to is work rate and effort and how bad the boys want it. Because we've proven with this group of players and Mitch Morden, we can beat them. They're not invincible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm more worried about playing Geelong than Hawthorn, personally.
Agree with that. I actually rate Geelong and Port Adelaide over Hawthorn this year. And that sounds scary, especially... seeming Hawthorn won by 140 odd points on the weekend, but Geelong and Port looks
good. No, I don't. Hawthorn just have so many, even across the board. They just kick goals. If Rufford doesn't kick goals, Bruce does. If Bruce doesn't kick goals, Hill does. If, you know, somebody, they just have, they kick over 20 goals a week. It's actually ridiculous how even their side is, to be honest with you. I don't think we'll get within 6 to 8 goals of them this week. I think they'll absolutely spank us. And that's just not being me being just negative every week. That's
okay. So
that's an indication of how good they have played this week.
Okay, some matchup questions for you guys. Vaughn, who do you believe?
Yes.
Would you assign Nick Smith to, Bruce or Rioli?
Rioli. Because if Rioli gets off the leash, he's the kind of player that lifts his teammates, even if he, I don't know, like, does one sneaky handball or something like that. His presence, as opposed to his actual footballing ability, has so much more value to the Hawthorn side. And I think if we can shut out Rioli, we also shut out a large portion of the crowd as well. And Smith has always done well on Rioli, so I don't think that I'd like to change that matchup anytime soon.
Okay, now Punts, let's say only one of Franklin or Tippett come in this weekend. Do you believe Hawthorn will play Schoenmakers in defence or in the forward line, assuming he's just coming off 4 goals against St Kilda?
No, I think they'll play him forward. I think they'll start him forward, and if Tippett does come in and he's causing a problem for them, maybe Schoenmakers will go back, but I think that Chenery will come in for Lake, and Lake will probably take, even though he's obviously undersized for Tippett, but he might be, you know, being Tippett's first game back, he might be able to body him, so I think they'll start Schoenmakers at centre-half forward to start off the game, and just they'll go from there. Clarkson's always played smaller defences. I think he likes the running carry, gets out of the smaller bloke, so I don't think he'll be too worried.
Can I just quickly say, though, his name is Clangermakers, not Schoenmakers. Clangermakers. Okay, continue.
Okay, now, SI, if they're going to play Schoenmakers up forward, that means you've got Roughhead and Gunston, who are the two main forwards we're going to have to keep a lookout for. Arresting Ruckman, then Schoenmakers. That's the equivalent of 4 tall forwards in their forward line.
Yep.
Is this reason for us to bring back LRT, or do we throw Reed into defence?
We've just spent 20 minutes talking about making sure our forward line's not too tall, so I see no reason to worry, on the contrary, because it's about team defence. It's about third man up. And the thing the Swans in defence need to learn is stop 3 guys jumping for the one bloody ball. One guy can spoil it, one guy can wait back, one guy can compete against the other guy. They need to talk back there. Yeah, you've got Ted on Roughhead, I guess, and Grundy goes to Gunston.
I hope that's the other way around. I really do.
Oh, well, either way, I don't really care as long as they work together. It leaves Hale or whoever the other ruckman is up there as a concern. But, again, that'll be coming off your man, peeling off, going third man up. And, again, I just think it's one in the midfield. So I wouldn't bring LRT back in the form that he's in. I'd be more likely to push Reed back as a defender if we got a Franklin or Tippett back in, if I was concerned about the height.
Yeah, I actually think Rampy would take Gunston. I think it's about a few centimetres difference, but I think Grundy would take Hale, and Teddy would take Ruffy, and I think Rampy would take Gunston. That's how I see the matchups. You can't just let Hale run around by himself on a smaller defender.
Really,
I wouldn't let him run around. I just think it's about rotating around each contest rather than here's your man, here's yours, because I'd like to see Rampy get that run and carry off the back line.
Yeah, I'd be very wary of Rampy playing on Gunston, because if we lose that run and carry, and it's been very important to us over the last few weeks, that could be a real problem going forward.
I don't know. As I said, if our midfield lets the ball come in there time after time, then the defence will get slaughtered anyway. So it's going to be one in the midfield keeping the pressure off those backmen and allowing them to set up properly. But yeah, LRT, not in the side for me. Reed goes back if I want another tall defender.
It's going to be an interesting matchup. Like, there are a few worries all over the park here, but I'm confident on this game, and I don't know why. I just think we can push them.
I think if you're a neutral analyst paid on the TV to predict the winner, you wouldn't tip Sydney at all. So I think this is just a natural thing as fans. We've seen a win. We hate Hawthorn. Let's see if we can push them. But this is a season-defining game, and there's a big opportunity here. But logic says Punts is probably right. We won't win, but we'll hold on to some sort of hope they'll hit four, because there's a lot. We are capable of a lot more than we've shown this year. Whether it's good enough to beat Hawthorn, I don't know.
It's at ANZ too, and I don't think Hawthorn has that good a record at ANZ either.
One from two.
Okay, not a big sample space, but still, their most recent game, they lost there.
Same for us.
Yeah, well, stop getting technical.
I hate ANZ. Where can we leave that dump?
Terrible.
I think our contract is tied there until 2018, correct?
Yeah, well, somehow get Gil McLaughlin to fix that. That's more important than the price of chips at the MCG to me.
Andrew Dimitriou, just bring your own food. Let's bring our own stadium. We could totally do that. Anyways, what is your worst nightmare and sure thing for the week, Punts?
Worst nightmare would be bringing Tippett and Buddy in and either one of them getting injured again from being rushed back. And what was the other question, sorry?
Sure thing.
Sure thing. Hawks to win.
Hawks to win. Okay, Vaughn, your sure thing and worst nightmare?
Alright, my worst nightmare, I'm going to do a bit of shameless self-promotion here. I'm going to be making a good-looking banner, a proper one this time. And I'm going to be taking it to the game. And if we win and good looking doesn't come over after the game and acknowledge it, that's going to be my worst nightmare. My sure thing for the week is that we are going to mark up selections.
Mark up selections?
Yeah. We're going to do something really silly with our selections. We're going to bring in an underdone Tippett, or we're going to bring in some other ridiculous, like Tom Mitchell or something like that. We're going to do something that no one predicted. Yeah, we're going to do something stupid like that. That's what my sure thing.
Okay. Swan's rule, what's your sure thing and worst nightmare for the week?
My worst nightmare would be Tom Derricks to get injured at the opening bounce and, Goods have to end up going in the ruck or something because we're that desperate. My sure thing is probably that we can't really win the game. Even if we do win it, we'll hear about Kohler, injuries, stadium, AFL looking after us, ambassador payments. So you can't really ever beat Hawthorn. That's my sure thing, even if you win on the scoreboard.
Okay, my worst nightmare for the weekend is a repeat of the Hawthorn St Kilda game. That would be pretty terrifying. But luckily, my sure thing is the margin will be whoever wins the match will win it by less than 4 goals.
And who have you got winning, Bonds?
Well, I don't usually ever tip Sydney. That's the unfortunate part, but I'm not ruling us out.
It's, right, so okay, tip it Hawthorn.
Every other week I've been on the podcast, you've tipped Sydney.
Not really. I've tipped us recently.
Yeah, I think you have.
And he always says, I didn't tip Sydney, actual, but...
In the actual
book... always tip Sydney.
I don't.
All right, Bond, stop tipping us.
I'm tipping Hawthorn there. By 17 points.
Wow, that sure thing is obviously not that set in stone if you changed it within the space of
Actually, I said my sure thing will be whoever wins will win by less than 4 goals.
Okay. 4 goals. Semantics, whatever.
Anyways, just before we finish off the podcast, we do have to give a late call out to someone who couldn't make it on today. RW and Robbie Ando, you've been great guests so far in the podcast this year, and we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and have a good night.